Death on Ireland's Eye, the Victorian murder trial that scandalised a nation. Written by Dean Ruxton and read by Aidan Kelly. Howth is a fishing village at the very top of Dublin Bay. It's there a long time, as are the names of many families that have weathered the centuries like the battered cliffs bordering the headland on which it sits. Besides fishing, the other economy keeping Howth afloat has long been the business associated with outsiders. The story you're about to hear, tragic and quite true, begins, in one sense, in Howth Harbour, north of which is Ireland's Eye, a lonely island with dark rock faces, clean beaches, and crumbling ruins casting shadows of former life. As the sun set on the 6th of September 1852, two Howth fishermen from one Howth family were preparing for their last job of the day, a trip to the island to collect a return fare. Mick Nangle stood for a moment in the little boat with one eye closed. From his position, he could see the top of the island peeking over the harbour wall, seeming to regard him and his cousin as they prepared to depart. "Is it nearly time?" Pat was only half paying attention, busying himself. "Nearly, Mick," he replied with a hint of frustration. It was coming up on 7:30. The sun had been set for nearly an hour, and the Nangles were due at Ireland's Eye at 8 p.m. to collect two tourists. The couple, the fishermen knew, were boarding up in the village with Margaret Campbell. By all indications, they were well-to-do. The man, William Burke Kirwan, worked in drawing disease and injuries for the hospitals, and liked to use his talents about the island, while his wife, Sarah Maria Louisa Kirwan, Maria, enjoyed swimming and walks about the nature of the place. The Nangles were getting on, but still made a living fishing and ferrying outsiders to the island. "Seagulls and rats," said Mick decidedly after a moment. "And spirits too. The devil was on the island." Pat looked over, preparing to hear a story he'd heard countless times before. "He came upon St. Nessun when he was in prayer," Mick went on. "St. Nessun cast him back with holy water, and he soared through the air, right to Howth, and struck the cliff with such force that he split the rock and left the mark of his face forever. That's why they call it Devil's Rock." Pat stopped his busy hands for a moment. "I thought he hit him with a Bible." "Could well be," Mick replied in deep thought. "It must have been some belt." The harbour and the boat were lit by lamplight. A calm night. The peace was broken by two voices carrying under the water from the pier. The remainder of the small crew, Tom Giles and Ned Kavanagh, came into view in the quick fading light and boarded the little boat. With 30 minutes to go until pickup, the men got to work at the oars, and the vessel cut through the black waters with ease. The pale strand of the island's landside shoreline was ignited by the light that remained. The ruins of an ancient church sat centrally on the main plain, and some way up from the water. In the northwest corner of the island, the outline of the Martello Tower, near the landing place, fought the dusk sky.